of you remember the original Star Wars movie? Hey, where's Hogan? I know you're a Star Wars man, aren't you? Yeah, he was. I think most of us that grew up in that era, we saw that movie probably about 10 times when it came out. You know, we were so fascinated with the special effects and, you know, just sitting in that theater and this whole type of presentation of, you know, being in the future. And, you know, as I was preparing for this message here today, I was thinking to myself, I should have been in one of those scenes. Carol, you know that? Do you remember the bar scene?
Yeah.
Skywalker walks in the bar, and you got all these creatures from all over the universe, and they all kind of looked weird. Well, I would have been the weirdest looking one in there. Because 2 weeks ago, during this coronavirus shutdown, I couldn't get to the barber. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? Going to the beauty salon. And so my wife usually cuts my hair, and I had like a little, groomer. And with that groomer, I usually do my eyebrows when they start getting too long. You know, I want to look like one of them old men, you know, the eyebrows sticking out and birds building a nest right in them. And so the little groomer that I had, it was broke. And I'm like, how am I going to do it? I just, you know, Pastor John and I were coming in, and I was doing the class before he did the message there. And I'm like, I don't want to look like a bum, you know. So my groomer was broke, and so I got the clippers out. Oh, yeah. And I took our good governor's advice. Go on YouTube and see how to do it, you know. So I got the, you know, the comb, and I'm... And I just got up, mind you. All right, I'm half asleep. And all of a sudden, my hand slips. And cut my one eyebrow off. That's why I said I should have been in that movie to Star Wars, because I look like a freak. I would have been sitting at that bar, and they would have walked in, looked at all the other creatures there from the universe, and looked at me and kind of scurried back. What the heck happened to him? So in the class... I don't know if it was it was the second to last class. I kept standing with my right shoulder to the camera so nobody could see my screw up. Amen. So, you know, during this coronavirus, we all have been challenged to do things, maybe old things in a new way, haven't we? You know, and I joked about the women, you know, because I know they were all wanting to get into the beauty salon, and the governor said, well, just go on YouTube and, you know, you can YouTube it to cut your hair. And I thought, I don't think she's doing it. She had her hair done nice, right? Fingernails done good. Now I'm thinking, I don't know any women that are going to do it. Though my wife, you know, one night I came in there and she was kind of, you know, doing some stuff with her hair. And, you know, she did a good job. Looks very nice there. But it's amazing what we had to learn to do kind of during this time. And, you know, our home groups, if you were in a home group, we had to Zoom those out. And that was kind of unusual. You know, sitting in the basement and looking at a phone or a tablet or a computer, whatever we were on. And I had mentioned this too when we started the Zooming here, the Sunday message, and I did that first Sunday morning class, and I was standing behind that pulpit where we had it originally. I mean, I felt like I was back in that MRI machine. I couldn't move because we couldn't move the camera. How's the camera moving up there, by the way? He's giving me the okay sign. They had that camera, they had it stationary for Pastor John. They said, no, Pastor Don, he likes to move around and talk, so they're gonna, you have to pay attention up there today, okay? You can't sit up there and screw around. So anyways, I'm, you know, doing that class, and the first time, for about the first 10 minutes, I mean, I just was like, I don't know what to say, you know? That's how I felt. And then, you know, Carol had put these two plants behind me. God bless Carol, you know, our interior decorator. And I got these two plants behind me, and I'm not kidding, as I'm reading, and my mind is going off in a whole other direction like it usually does. And I'm thinking back to that old Addams Family TV show where Morticia Addams had that African violet. You know, people would walk by that thing and it'd wrap itself around you and try to choke you. And that's how I felt. I just felt like I can't move. This is confining, you know. And so for me, that was a whole new stepping out into a whole new different experience. You know, and we had to re-examine and possibly change to some degree all the things that we were used to doing, right? I know Mike Hill, I saw him, he says, this is the new normal. But how quickly we fall back into the old ways, amen? And but this is a time in our spiritual lives we've had to do things differently. How many of you know that we're not going to put God in a box, are we? You know, I mean, many of us probably came out of a denominational background where everything was mapped out for you. You know, you would sit at a certain time, you sit a certain song, and blah, blah, blah. And there's an order to it, but there's also got to be a freedom of the Spirit of God to move in our life and not be constrained and say, well, this is not how it was done yesterday. Amen? You know, that's not the way we did it before. There's a newness, there's a freshness that should be continually breaking in. We're never going to exhaust God. I mentioned earlier during the praise and worship, I said, when you look out at the heavens, you know, all those stars differ from one another in glory, don't they? And you could just focus on one and go, my gosh, I wonder how far that is. Or look at the brightness of this one. Or look how this makes up part of this constellation. And with God, everything is different. Everything is new. And He's a God that wants to take His people and to form something new and to use them in a new way. Be careful. I always say this, be careful what you pray for. Amen? Because when you pray that prayer, you know, you can be put into a very difficult situation. And you know, attempting new things can be very humbling and intimidating, right? You know, and like I said, during this coronavirus, this thing, we were asked to do different things, and probably each one of you had to do something that you weren't accustomed to doing. You had to do it in a different way. Maybe going into the store wearing a mask or gloves or what have you, and you know, just kind of a funny story. I was in Kroger's, and this lady, she came in, and she had the gloves on, she had the mask on, and, you know, she's demanding everybody stay 6 feet away from her. In fact, when she got up there, and she's putting all her groceries up there, and then the lady that was behind the cashier, she's got her mask and gloves and things like that. Well, the young man that was there didn't have gloves on. He had the mask, but he's just grabbing stuff, putting it in the bag, you know. And she starts having a fit. She says, I don't want any of that stuff. He go make him put on gloves. Well, you know, to accommodate, you know, the shopper, they sent him and had him put on gloves, and he came back and he put on the gloves. And so it goes through the whole thing, and she kind of, you know, him and hawed. And then she takes her gloves off and pulls out her credit card and starts hitting all the numbers. And I'm thinking, lady, you wanted this guy. How many people have touched that credit card thing? You know, you're complaining about him, but once again, we kind of can forget where we're at and what we're going to do. You know, so when we ask God to move us into a new time in our life, be careful. But how many of you know that's exactly where God wants us to go? Amen? We're to be a people of faith. We're to be a people that trust God no matter what the circumstances are. If you watch that class that we had on Sunday morning, I talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And the whole reason was to motivate people to seek out the Spirit of God and to say, God, here I am. Use me in a whole new way. And we were kidding about Brian sharing the testimonies. And that should be the thing. Everybody's hand, and I say this all the time, should go up. Pastor, I got a testimony. I want to share with you what God did with me this week. Amen? And so I was thinking about that. And like I said, you know, there's a being prepared. That's actually what I'm kind of entitled to today, being prepared to move into a new way. You know, you can't move into a new way of doing things until you have some preparation. Those of you that work at a certain place, you went in, they didn't just throw you wherever you're doing. There was a preparation. You had to learn something. Amen? And so that's how God is with us, that as the Spirit of God, you know, is poured out in our life, there's times that we have to go through times of preparation. And we may not like it, but it opens an incredible door of opportunity for us. You know, when we eventually walk through that. You know, turn with me over to Joshua chapter 3, verse 4. And kind of use this as the scripture, our foundation today. And then I'll give you the background after I read this. It says, verse 4, then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. God's speaking to Joshua, and he tells him, and he's giving him all these instructions. And he's telling him, he says, you got to do this, this, and this, and this, because you're about to enter into a time, and you're about to enter into something new, and you've never been this way before. How many have experienced that recently, like I said, with this coronavirus or what have you? God wants to take you as an individual and us as a church, and his church on a worldwide basis into a new time. This is an exciting time. A lot of people look at it and say, well, we got this going on, that going on, all this trouble. How many of you know that that's exactly the same stuff that was going on in the early church? Amen. Don't think that they were put into a situation where there was peace and love and understanding here. No, they were being dominated by the Roman Empire. They were being persecuted. All these things were going on. There was uprisings all over the Roman Empire. There were natural disasters. There was pestilence. There was famine. The Christian church was right in the middle of all those things. And so we see here in Joshua 3:4, he tells them, he says that, you know, then you will know which way to go. It's unfortunate that a lot of Christians have no idea which way they're going. You know, people that have been in the church doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. You know, like that little gerbil in the cage, just running continuously but never getting anywhere. And I don't know about you, but that's not the way I want to be. I want to be someone, you know what? I want to see God's glory afresh and new every day. Yesterday's man is no good for today. You got to go on. You got to pick up something new for today. Amen? Something that's going to give you life. Something that's going to sustain you. And yesterday's provision is no longer good for today. In the business world, in the sports world, you can't get away with doing things that you did 20 years ago. Same in the police world. Obviously, we saw that, right? You know, different techniques, different ways of dealing with people. Those things are long gone. You can't do those things. And if you do, you're gone. And so there's a continually refreshing, a continually looking at things. And here in Joshua, we have a great example of it. You know, part of the background of what was going here in Joshua, and I'd encourage you to read through the book, because next to Acts is one of my favorite books. In fact, it's really the book of Acts in the Old Testament, because they're now going into the land, and they've got to do some stuff. You get to the book of Acts, when I talked about it, in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why? So we can do some stuff for the kingdom. Okay? We're not going to sit around and play church. We're going to be the church, moving out and doing things for the kingdom of God. And so here in Joshua, we have, you know the story, they were in the desert for 40 years because of disobedience. You know, I don't know about you, but when I'm disobedient, I want to repent and I want to move on. I don't want to sit in that desert for 40 years just kind of walking around in a circle. Where are we going? The view doesn't change. You know, all you're just seeing is a bunch of scrubs and you're seeing a bunch of cliffs and desert and dirt, and that is it. And you think to yourself, I long for the days when I could go down by the water and sit down by the beach or walk up into the mountains or see a tree. You know, during this virus, how many of us we got out to the park and you walked around and you just enjoyed looking at those things. And there was life that was ministered to you. But when you see the same thing over and over and over and over again, my poor wife, she had to see me every day. And she'd say, isn't there someone you can go see? No, honey, we're on lockdown. Well, you can disobey it. She appealed to a higher authority than the governor. You can go. Isn't there something you can do? Go see someone. Just take a drive. Get out of my hair. But honey, I'm not done with your list. Oh, don't worry about it. You'll get back to it later. So we see that they walked around in that desert for 40 years. What an example of a lot of Christians. And that's not what we want to be. You know, they were used to their stable but boring environment. You know, people love sometimes that stability, don't they? And when things come in and shake it up, we get all out of whack. You know, it's a hard thing coming in here. You know, we had to make all these plans, people coming in with armbands and the social distancing and, you know, shutting down classes and things like that. And there were people like, well, you know, hey, this is not church. Well, you understand. Things are getting shaken up a little bit. You know, I like those yellow armbands. Cheryl, you did a great job with those. You're the only one, I think, wearing one. Yeah, she's... okay, no... We were kidding Carol. Carol came in the door and they offered her one. Carol, stand up real quick. She's got all yellow on, so I was kidding her. I goes, hey, she wanted to social distance. She's taking it to the nth degree. People stay with, you know, you can hug Carol and, you know, shake hands with her. All right, Carol, nice job. Sit down. Way to be a prop for me, Carol. You didn't know you were going to be recruited for that. You know, they were used to God providing for their every need. They didn't have to do a whole lot. I walked out in the morning, picked up manna, and that was enough for the day. Maybe walked over to the rock, got a little bit of water, took that home, and then sat around. They weren't planting crops. They weren't involved in warfare. They weren't involved in politics. There was probably some things going on, maybe a little education with the young kids. You know, they called Brian and Chrissy in to do a vacation Bible school. Meet Brian and Chrissy over by the rock with the water, you know, 10 a.m. You know? But they had this stable environment that God was calling them out of. Are you ready to get out of your stale environment and to move into a whole new... I see Chrissy over here. She's like, yeah, I'm ready to move, you know. You know, I'm always encouraged when I see Chrissy move. You know, I remember her coming up here and sharing a word. That wasn't easy for her, you know, or singing with her sister. You know, her sister, she thinks she's on American Idol up here singing, and, you know, I am Rachel. Listen to me sing. But Chrissy, you know, is of humble spirit and character, you know, and, and you know, and different personalities. But you see her willing to take that step into a whole new land. You know, it was a generation that really didn't know about the cruel bondage of Egypt. You know, there's a lot of young people here. You haven't experienced life to that degree where you really know the cruelties of life. Maybe you do. There's a lot of, yeah, I'm not saying, I know a lot of young kids, you know, they've gone through tough times. Families broken up, divorce, deaths, sickness, whatever it might be. But as you live more and more, you know, that you go through these things on a more regular basis. I'm always joking, making fun of Sandy and Mark Hogan, because it seems every week I said, okay, whose funeral did you go to this week? She goes, I can't tell you how many funerals I've been to this week, Pastor Don. I just keep going, you know, all these people that I know. That's true, isn't it? You know, just thank God it's not your funeral. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So they didn't know the cruel bondage. And there's something about going through those hard times that develops our character, isn't there? That gives us a little bit of wisdom, gives us a little bit of understanding, gives us a little bit of compassion for other people that are going through things at that particular time. And there's no shortage of people that are hurting. I know when Pastor John does a funeral message, one of his scriptures that he used out of Corinthians, and with the comfort that we've received, comfort others, comfort one another. And there's something to that empathy or that ability to say, you know what, I know where you're at. I've been through it myself. They were also a generation that didn't understand warfare. They may have saw it a little bit because they were still young. You remember, everybody that was 20 years old and younger was not going to be the next generation. But the nation had to wait till everybody from that previous generation died because of their unbelief, their refusal to go into the promised land. They believed the bad reports. We can't go in. There's giants, there's this, there's that. And so God said, you're not going to enter in. But this other generation, they probably heard the stories and they knew, why are we walking around in this desert for all this time? Aren't we going somewhere? You know? There's nothing worse than not having a goal that you're shooting towards. Remember that old movie, Cool Hand Luke? Paul Newman, the old blue eyes, like mine, Naisa. Yeah. And there was a scene in there where Luke was being punished because he was a nonconformist. He wasn't going to do what the warden wanted him to do. And so I think he escaped. They brought him back and they made him dig a hole. He dug the hole and he finishes the hole and he's tired and then the guard comes out. He goes, Luke, what are you doing? Why are you putting all that dirt on the warden's, on his plot there? And he says, well, that's where you told me to put it. He says, no, move the dirt. And so he put all the dirt back into the hole. And then the guard came out and says, what are you doing, Luke? We told you to dig a hole. I know, boss. And then he had to dig a hole again. He put the dirt back, and it kept going back and forth. Well, they were just messing with him. And there was no purpose to it except, you know, he wasn't going to win no matter what he did. And, you know, we have to have that vision, something that we're moving towards. And these people that were out in the desert in the book of Joshua, they knew God's promise, but most of them weren't going to enter in. Okay? So they were a generation. They didn't know war. They didn't know the bondage of Egypt. And they were a generation that didn't have that experiential knowledge. They may have had it up here, but sometimes you've got to go through things. You know, I like the saying, you know, love is blind, but marriage is an eye-opener, you know? Why? Because experience brings reality down to earth. And Mitzi, what are you laughing for? Yeah, she's shaking her head. Yeah, I know what you're saying, Pastor Don. I got married. My eyes were really open. Got a great husband, great kids. So we see here all these different things that they didn't understand. But yet God was preparing them to go into a new way of life. And sometimes that preparation is boring. It's not fun. It's repetitive. You know, when I was training kids for sports, they'd have to come into the weight room or they would have to do running or what have you. That wasn't fun. But they have to do it day after day after day after day. Why? Because it was preparing them. You know, there's an old saying that champions are made in the off season. And what they mean by that, it's not during the season that you've prepared yourself for what you're encountering. It's in that off season where you're changing your diet, you're changing your mental outlook. You know, you're getting stronger physically, understanding the game even more, or whatever that you're involved in. Very important. And so we see that Israel had arrived at a moment where it was time to move on from their wilderness surroundings to a new place where faith would be tested and tested and tested, and reliance upon God would be tested and tested and tested. And the same is true for us as Christians today. So the question today is, do you want to remain in the wilderness, or do you want to press on into the Canaan, into the inheritance, into the promises that God has for you? There's so much more, church, that we're missing, that we're not experiencing. And see, they knew what expectations. They knew that there were giants in the land. They knew that there were multiple people. They knew that they were going to be the outcast. They were going to be the minority. That they were going into a land where there was going to be many temptations. It was a pluralistic society. Everybody had their own ideas of doing things. And they were going to have to battle that. And they had all these different gods that they were going to have to battle against, these ideas that had been ingrained in these people for generation after generation. But God had called them to be His witnesses on earth, to be His representatives, to bring a whole new way of thinking and clarity, not just to the to their nation, but to the nations that surrounded that promised land. Their influence was to touch the entire world. They had a goal, and that was to conquer and to possess the entire land. And that was only going to be accomplished by reliance on God and walking in faith and obedience and destroying all the obstacles that they would encounter. I want to give you six things that God's going to do in our life. And I'm going to kind of move quickly through them because of time. So you can write quick or you just get this later. Number one, you're going to have to trust in God's appointed leadership. And I'm going to get into this in a minute. Number two, you're going to have to arise and cross over. Number three, you're going to have to trust God's promises. Number four, be strengthened by God's charge. Number five, prepare yourself. And number six, have faith. Let's look at a couple of these real quick. Trust God, God's approved and appointed leadership. Now, everybody that's a leader in churches, don't make the assumption that they're there because God has really placed them there. You got to check out people. You better watch them. You know, Joshua, though he wasn't Moses, and it says here, the first thing in Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. What a great way to start out a book, amen? Why did he say that? Because he was trying to instill in Joshua, listen, somebody's got to take these people into the land. He's dead. Somebody's now got to step up to the plate and do their job. And so for Joshua, the people had seen his life. He was one of the spies that had come back out of the promised land and had spoken words of what? Encouragement and faith. We can go in and take the land. Him and Caleb. And they were the only two from that generation that were going to be allowed to go in because they trusted the promises of God. But now it was time for him to take that mantle of leadership. And those of you that are in leadership positions, you know that's not an easy thing to do at times. You're going to face all sorts of opposition. But Joshua had the resume. He was a warrior. He had been faithful as a servant as Moses. And he was a man who loved the presence of God. We're told that Joshua, Moses was looking for him one day. Hey, where's Joshua at? Says he's at the entrance to the tabernacle. And he would sit there daily. Why? Because he wanted to be close to the presence of God. Those are the kind of leaders we need. that are looking for the direction of God, that want the presence of God in their lives, that are willing to sit there all day. God, here I am, use me. And so Joshua, he had that experience, but now everything was going to fall upon his shoulders. And so God, when we go into those new times, when we go into that new way of living, sometimes there's new leadership, there's new men or women that come into our life that are going to give us direction. Sometimes we like these people, and other times we don't. Like, we're not told if everybody liked Joshua. We don't know. You know, there are millions of people out there in the desert. But as I said, he was a warrior, you know, a spy, a man of faith. He loved the presence of God. Reminds us of Paul in the New Testament. You know, we know the history of Paul. He persecuted the church. But God had a new way for him to go. And when he began to enter, before he entered into that, preaching to the Gentiles, what'd God do? Well, he took him into Arabia for a lot of years. Took him back into Jerusalem. He didn't just go and he tried to start preaching, but nobody would accept his testimony because they were afraid of him. So he had to go through a process. The second one was, we read in verse 1 that in Joshua, God tells Joshua to arise and to cross over. Now I'm actually going to end with this, and then I'm going to come back next week and share and kind of get into it a little bit. But we see two things, to arise and to cross over. And I love the scriptures because every word is packed with meaning. And when we hear certain words, it should take our minds to certain stories that we're aware of. And so when I say that word arise, what do you think of? I know what I think of. I thought of that little girl that's being carried to the tomb. And the whole city is crying and whining. The mother is there. My little daughter, she's dead. And here comes Jesus. He stops the procession. What does he say? Little girl, arise. See, when God is going to take us to that new way of doing things, we've got to be willing to come out of that area of death. We've got to be called. We've got to hear the voice of God tell us to what? Arise. We know the story of Lazarus, right? Lazarus, come forth. So there's an initiation by the Spirit of God to arise. We go to the book of Genesis, and what do we see on the third day? The earth coming up out of the water. What a beautiful picture of resurrection. But there's a resurrection. There's an arising that needs to take place in our life day after day after day after day. And when we do that, he just doesn't tell us to get up, but he tells us what? Get moving. I'm taking you somewhere. He tells them to cross over. And I like that, to cross over. You know, we know Jonathan, David's friend, Saul's son. One day he came to a ravine, and him and his armor bearer were on one side, and on the other side was a Philistine army. And it said that Jonathan told his armor bearer, let's cross over. God will deliver them into our hand. I like that. Two guys against a whole army. But what he did, he had to crawl down that ravine. He had to cross over whatever the heck was down there. And so we're told there's going to be obstacles that come into our life and that we're going to have to battle with. You got to expect those obstacles. And in the book of Acts, when I did the teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, were there obstacles? Every single page. Every page they faced obstacles. The apostles were what? Beaten, thrown in jail. Peter had to run out of the town, get out of there, right? Stephen was stoned to death. Expect obstacles. All right? So I'm going to come back next week. I'm going to finish and get into it a little bit more. I know I kind of took some time there laying a kind of a foundation as to what we do. God wants to take us into a new way. We hear that the new normal. Well, the new normal with God is it's always changing, always something going to happen. Amen? So we'll have all the fathers come up. Pastor John, we usually have little gifts for him. So if your father come up, we're going to close here and pray over you and thank God for fathers. Amen. Amen.
As Pastor Don said, normally we have a little gift to give you, but the company that we always deal with, they just opened back up. They couldn't get the shipping. They couldn't guarantee anything. So this year we're gonna do something even more important. We're just gonna pray.
Amen.
That's more important than any kind of gift. But we want to pray for the fathers. We know that God has given us that example of fatherhood in Himself. And, you know, He's called a father, and we're His children. Tell Tim out there in the hall. I just happen to see him out there. Let him know that we're praying for all the fathers here.
There he comes.
Come on up here, Tim.
Some call me Tim.
All right. We want to pray a blessing Amen. Over you. You know, because being a father, you think about God, what He goes through. You know, and I mean, He's got all the children, that He's brought into His family. And think about all the times that we've let Him down. You know, and think about His dreams for us. His plans for us, you know, and how many times we don't walk in those plans. And He's put all these gifts, He's given us all gifts, you know, and so many times we don't use the gifts that He's given us. We're not perfect, but God is perfect. He's a perfect Father, and God is the ideal. When we say the ideal, that means the perfection. God is the perfection of beauty, and he's the perfect ideal of a father. And that's who we strive for. And I just want to pray God's blessing on every one of you fathers here, that would be in your heart to say, I want to be like my Father in heaven. I want to be as close to Him, you know, and as much like Him as I can. I want to be a father not only to your own children, but even a father to others, to other young men, and even to other, a fatherly figure to even children that God puts in your life. Some of you are teachers here at church. Some of you have neighbors, little kids on the street that you can bless. You can be fatherly toward them. Some of them don't have fathers. And we're the kind of men that should be that example to them, because we know the true Father. We know what Father is, a true Father is. It's our God. And as we try to be like Him, we can be a father to many. You know, it says in the Word that there aren't many fathers. You know, and we want to be that godly type of father, for purely, not for our gain, but because we want to bless. We want to honor our Father by being a good father. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I pray for every man here this morning, Lord God, that You would put the heart of a father on all of us, Lord God, and that we would take that with us wherever we go, that we would be a father figure to every person that we meet that needs that fathering in their life, Lord God, that needs that encouraging word, that needs that comforting word, that needs that word of blessing, that maybe that help, that helping hand, whatever it might be. Lord, help us to be the kind of father that You would want us to be, Lord God. Lord, that we would look to You to know how to be a father, and that we would be the best fathers we ever could. Lord, I pray that Your blessing would be upon each one of these men here, that we would find opportunities, that we would make the most of every opportunity that is presented to us to be a father in whatever way we can to bless others. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father.
Amen. Amen. We do have coffee today. Still, once again, try to observe the distancing. People might have the yellow armband. We do have prayer team be up here. If you would like prayer, please let them know. If you want them to lay hands on you, if you'd like them to pray for you at a distance. So God bless, and we will see everyone next week. It's who I